Well, that song, the reason that it's such a beautiful song is because it registers in our hearts. Some songs have a nice sound to it, it's pleasing to the ears, but that song is pleasing to the heart because it's such a blessing, I'm sure, to each one of us. We have many testimonies where we could say, "My cup overflowed." Thank the Lord. Have a message this morning I'd like to leave with you for consideration. Have you ever considered what it'd be like to be able to just ring a bell and get whatever you wanted? Is there a bell up here? I don't have a bell to ring. Have you ever thought what that'd be like? If right when you had a need, you could just reach over and hit that bell and I mean, you had it met. If you were out somewhere and you're thirsty and there's no water around, you just reach over and hit that bell and thirst quenched. If you got a problem person in your life that just seems like they're a thorn in your flesh, no problem. You just reach over and hit that bell, problem solved. They're either gone or they're no longer a problem for you anymore. Maybe you're having financial trouble. If you could just punch a button and money just appeared, problem solved. We as kids used to think, I remember growing up, we'd want to go places and mom and dad said, well, you know, it costs money. Well, we remembered they'd go to this place called Eubank at the store at Fred Meyer and they'd punch some buttons in and this money would come out of this building. And we'd say, well, just go down to Fred Meyer, go to the Eubank. What, the money's not the issue. It just takes a little while to get down there. Well, we found out that there was an issue with that. It wasn't just that easy. But it'd be nice if it was that easy. You just punch a couple buttons, the answer comes out, and you go on your way. Got a problem in your body? Suffering a little bit? You got some pain that you've been dealing with, and you'd like for it to just to go away? No problem. Just reach over, hit a button, it's gone. If we could do that, where do you think it would leave us? We live in a world today where we are becoming accustomed to quick answers. If you don't know something, no problem. Just give me a couple seconds and I'll have the answer for you. And because of that, we can start to devalue knowledge. I mean, you don't have to search for so much stuff anymore. It's just, well, it's at your fingertips. Relationships, you don't have to sit down and, you know, spend time writing out a letter with the pen and paper and take the time to write an address on it and find a stamp. You know, that all took time. If you wanted to write a letter, it's because you wanted to write a letter. Now, you can just send a quick text. Done. You got trouble in your body? Well, there's lots of stuff out there to handle that too. It just quick. Instant satisfaction. A lot of instant stuff out there. You know, we didn't used to always have microwaves. Didn't always have cell phones. Didn't have, what are these water pots, these Insta things you can heat up water and have it boiling in just a few seconds. If we're not very careful, we can start approaching God and our spiritual lives in the same way. Lord, I got a need. Well, I mean, I came to you. I asked for it. I asked for all these other things and get it really quick. What would it be like if we could do that? I think it would hurt us. I think we have been hurt. I think that we are at risk, folks, if we're not real careful. Our sense of spiritual urgency and our desire and our focus on seeking after with the Lord with all of our hearts. We don't have to seek after things with all of our hearts. We can get stuff while we're focused on something else because it's so easy to come by. And it will hurt and it can hurt our spiritual walk with the Lord. This morning, I'd like to learn some lessons from the story of Naaman. And there's a lot of things here, and given the time, we may have to cut short, may have to come back to it. But I'd like to turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and read some of the story of Naaman. And I, because of the sake of time, I'm not going to read this whole story, because I suspect most of you here know the story of Naaman, but we'll hit some high points. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and the first verse says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria." It was thought that Naaman was the one that actually had killed Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, and it brought him some additional recognition and reputation and honor. It said that he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And you know the story. He was a leper and he was a Syrian. And in his home he had a little maid that had been taken out captive out of the land of Israel. And she knew of Elisha, the prophet. And she said, "Look, if you, I know somebody that can take care of your leprosy. If you would just go to find Elisha, this man of God, he can take care of this." And so Naaman, he gathered himself and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment in the 5th verse. They took a letter to the king of Israel to try to pave the way, which caused some issues with the king of Israel, because he was kind of afraid of what might happen if leprosy wasn't just healed back then. I mean, you had leprosy, that was a bad deal. And now they're sending a letter to the king about wanting to get this healed. And he's like, "Well, what kind of trick is in this? Setting me up." But Elisha heard about it, and he told him. He said, "Well, send him to me. And so in the 9th verse it said, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, and saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' Oh, but Naaman was wroth. And he went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came to him and said, 'Look, I mean, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do that? So this little thing here, I mean, what do you have to lose? Why not just go down there and do this simple thing that was asked?' And so he went down and it said, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Well, it's quite a story, isn't it? Like to start and notice the first verse. It started off describing Naaman as being a great man and with his master, and he was honorable and he had reputation, and we read in here he had means too. He had money. So he was rich, he was reputable, he was well known, he was a man with so much going for him. But he was a leper. It like overshadowed everything. All of these positive things that you would think would just set him on course for success in life. He would be the epitome of success in the earth, right? But he was a leper. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Have you ever looked at your life and thought, "You know, I've got all these things, so many blessings here, and God's been good to me over here, and I have so many things going for me, but there's this besetting sin. It just seems like it just won't go away. It's a desperate thing in my life. It's in everything that I do. It's always in front of me. Yes, I may have positive things in my life, but this thing just follows me around. It's like leprosy. There's no good end to it. Leprosy was that back in the day. I mean, they can treat it now, but we talked about leprosy not too long ago during the meeting. Leprosy, I mean, it was kind of a death sentence. If you got it, it was a slow, painful, humiliating death. And if you had it, it controlled and overshadowed your life. And I think this is the case. I think a lot of times in our lives, there are things that it just seems like we have a hard time getting away from. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that? A temptation that's it's just got a hold of you, and it just seems like you can't run far enough away so that it's not there anymore. It's a besetting sin, or it's a hurt that you have. Maybe it's internal and you just can't seem to get over this hurt, or maybe it's a physical problem. It's a thorn in the flesh. Paul had that. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, but it just seemed like the thorn in the flesh, it wouldn't go away. Maybe there's an attribute about yourself, if not to yourself, to others, that you get feedback on. It just seems to overshadow everything. And if you only knew how to turn the situation, you would. You'd go to great lengths because this thing, it just seems to follow you around. And I have an idea that at some point in our lives, if you're not experiencing it today, you have experienced it. Or you will. These are the things that are issues that have to do with real life. And Naaman, he had leprosy. And it was a dark place in his life. And it looks like he had some other issues too. In the 10th verse, it looked like that when he got to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. He sent his messenger out to meet him. Did you catch that? Well, Naaman wasn't very happy about that. Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. Naaman was a man that was accustomed to being recognized for who he was. When Naaman went somewhere, people recognized Naaman as, this is an honorable man. This is the great Naaman. And we listen to him. We pay him deference. We respect him. He's honored. And when he asked for things, he probably got it. When he went down the street, people probably moved out of the way so that he could get down the street without being impeded by somebody else. And yet, when he went to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even come to the door. He brought all these gifts. He thought this was going to be a transaction. I got a problem. I'll come bring you a whole bunch of gifts. Got silver, got gold, different raiments. I'll see the man of God. He'll stretch forth his hand. Problem will be solved. I can go back home. All is good. Right? Wrong. When he got there, Elisha didn't even come to the door. And it made Naaman very upset. Do you think we're ever in that spot? Do we ever, let me say it this way, do we always expect both man and God to respond to us in an ever uplifting way where we're always honored? It's always made easy for us. Our paths are always made for us wherever we go. And then when it doesn't turn out that way, our sense of justice is offended. We don't like it. And Naaman had a problem because he was in a rage about the whole thing. Not only did the man not come out and even acknowledge him, but then he hauled off and told him to go do something that was humiliating. And maybe we won't spend enough time on this morning, but this first point was almost Naaman's undoing. He thought too much of himself. He had an exaggerated sense of who he was. And because he wasn't humble enough initially, because he had in his mind how he should be received when he came with a need and he wasn't received that way, it already took some humility to come in the first place, because he was a great man and he was having to come and say, I need something. And we do the same thing sometimes. We'll recognize that we have a need, and maybe we have to approach somebody about it. Sometimes that's hard, because we have to humble ourselves and self-disclose and make ourselves vulnerable, and we have to open up and go, but I'm willing to do it. This is a great need in my life. I'm willing to do it. And so then we approach somebody, or God even sometimes, and when we are not received like we think we ought to be received, then we shut the door to it. So, well, if that's the way it is, if that's the way they're going to receive me, if that's going to be their response, if that's the way they feel about it, then fine, I'm done. I thought, that's what Naaman said, I thought that it would have happened this way, but it didn't happen that way. And so I'm done. I'm going back and I'm upset. I went all this way. I humbled myself. I was willing to give them much. And it didn't work out fine. And it was almost his undoing. It was almost resulted in him not getting the need of his life met. Let's be challenged this morning to be humble. Let's be challenged to not be quickly turned away when we're not received like we think we ought to be received. Okay, the next point. Naaman didn't like to be told to wash in the muddy river. He came with leprosy, with a need in his body. And when he was told, all right, here's the solution. What you need to do is you need to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, the Jordan was muddy. It wasn't clean. It wasn't pleasant to go to the Jordan and dip in the Jordan. If you're going to go swimming somewhere and you need to be made clean, you're going to go take a bath and you have to take a bath in the river, you're going to choose probably the river that's clean. I mean, if you have a muddy one and a clean one, who wants to be dipping in a muddy river and have somebody come by and say, what are you doing down there? Well, I'm taking a bath. Taking a bath? What are you doing down there in the muddy river? What are you thinking? That's no place to dip. There's a lot of places, a lot of waters in Louisiana that I don't have any desire to dip in. It's like if I need to be made clean, that's the wrong place to go be made clean. There's things down in that water that are alive, and it's not always the cleanest water down there. And so immediately what he started to do was question the word of God that came through Elisha, question the solution. He had a different way to do it. This was the word of God through Elisha, but if that's what I need to do, maybe if I did it just a little bit different, it would be better. It would be cleaner. It would be more clinical. It would be more sterile. It more efficient. And he missed the total point. Naaman missed the point. There was nothing in the water that was going to cleanse his leprosy. There was no virtue in the water. That's not what was going to take care of his problem. It was that he needed to exercise humility and perseverance and obedience. That's what the Lord was after. He had a need in his body, but it wasn't the leprosy itself the outward manifestation, the tangible thing that he could look at. There's leprosy, this is bad. How do we get rid of this? We'll go dip in the water. Okay, I need to get water to take care. That wasn't the problem. God didn't need the water to take care of the leprosy. The problem was deeper than that. And he was being requested to do something that really didn't have anything to do with the leprosy itself. Didn't have anything to do with cleansing his skin. There was no virtue in the water. The Lord looked down in his heart and recognized, you need to learn humility. You need to learn perseverance. In other words, keep at it until the answer comes. We'll get to that in a minute. You need to be obedient. Whether you like it or not, whether it feels good or not, regardless of what better alternative you think you may have, man's ways are right in his own eyes. But the scripture tells us that God's ways are higher than our ways. And when we come to the Lord with needs in our lives, many times we come to Him with preconceived ideas about the best way for it to come to pass, especially when the Lord starts leading us in a certain direction. Then we look and say, oh, that's what you want me to do. Well, I could do A, B, C, and D, and it'll actually be better. There's a cleaner river over here, and if I do that, then maybe the whole thing will turn out better. And all the while, we have a deeper need in our hearts that the Lord wants to do something about. Sometimes we have to get in unpleasant places for cleansing to occur. And it goes against the flesh. And it's not really what we want to do. And oftentimes it doesn't happen with the ring of a bell. With a snap of our fingers. It's not that the Lord can't do that. Because He does do it sometimes. There are many testimonies of where the Lord, just right now with the ring of a bell, temper was gone. Addictions were no more. Right now, temptations that used to be temptations, the Lord, many times in many places, we could testify this morning, no doubt, in the congregation of where you can testify that the Lord did something special for me back then, and it was immediate, it was divine, it was not something I could have done on my own. The Lord can do that in all of the instances in our lives. But He sees it's not the best for us. But many times that's what we desire. That's what we look for. We want healing now. We want a solution now. We want deliverance now. We want to feel good now. We don't want it. We want to do it in a way that's as pleasing as possible to our flesh. And yet many times the Lord looks down in our lives and He looks down in our hearts and He sees you have something down there that needs help and you don't even know anything about it yet. And if you'll let me take care of it, it'll help solve a lot of problems in a lot of different areas of your life. It begins to identify attitudes that we may have that we don't realize. It may indicate a hurt that we have. It may indicate a lack of character. It may indicate an absence of responsibility that we ought to have in life. Maybe we're not making good financial decisions because we have a problem that God would like to get a hold of us with, and yet we get in trouble. We want the Lord just to supply all the needs right now. And maybe there's something besides just that immediate need that needs attention. Did you know that fire doesn't just happen? You don't just come upon a flaming fire and burning buildings and a fire just happened. Fire happens when there's the right constituents of fuel and oxygen and heat. You got to have all three of them in the right concentrations. If you have the right amount of oxygen and you have a fuel source and you interject a little bit of heat and you get it all lined up just right, then you get fire. But you can have heat and you can have fuel. But if you don't have too much oxygen or too little oxygen, you don't have fire. But a lot of times what happens to us, we look in our own lives and we see the fire. And we pray, Lord, help put out this fire. I got a fire going on. This is a bad situation. People are getting damaged. This is hurtful to me. I feel burned. Lord, I need help in this area. And if all the Lord did was quickly douse the fire out, took away all the symptoms, we're still left with the same constituents that caused the fire in the first place. That's probably going to happen again. Maybe in a little bit different way. It may manifest itself with different people, a different environment, different attitude, but you are still who you were when the fire started before. And God is interested in going into our lives and helping us see what our real needs are. And Naaman had some real needs. He didn't want to persevere. He didn't want to do it over and over in a muddy river. He didn't want to be humiliated. He didn't like it that he wasn't received like he thought he should be received. But the Lord looked down in his heart and realized, yes, I could take your leprosy away. We pray for things like that a lot of times. Lord, could you take this leprosy away? Lord, could you take this piece away? Lord, this is causing a problem over here. And all the while, the Lord looks at us all the way down into our heart and recognizes the greater needs that we have. And it affects our relationships with other people. It affects our marriages. It affects our finances. It affects our walk with the Lord. All of these areas that so many times are seemingly unrelated. You find that sometimes people's lives, it just seems like it's a mess. Everywhere you look, in areas that seem to be maybe on the surface unrelated, when really it's a heart issue that the Lord wants to do something with. All right, the third issue that I wanted to make mention before we close this morning. Naaman was asked to dip how many times? Once? Twice? Three times? Seven times. What does seven represent? It always represents completeness. You need to go dip. And the definition of the word dip in one instance was plunge. You need to plunge. You need to completely, total, unrestrained obedience and willing to keep doing it over and over and over as long as it takes. Now we heard in the meeting at least once, twice, maybe three times about the fact that sometimes there are areas in our life that we have to carry for a while. Sometimes there's struggles that we have in life that don't just go away with a trip down to the altar. Sometimes God does that for us. Other times we're not ready to recognize the truth about ourselves in every single area. Brother Clifford Wilson said one time, he said he prayed to the Lord and he said, Lord, show me myself just exactly like you see me. Lord, give me a divine revelation. I want to know myself just like you see me so that he could change. And no answer. No answer. Kept praying to the Lord. And he said one day, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, Clifford, if I showed you exactly who you were, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Folks, we have needs in our lives that sometimes it takes God in His mercy to us. He uses time so that it is not to crush us, so as to teach us, help us learn, to get to the real core issues. And so sometimes when we would like a quick answer, sometimes we'd like immediate resolution, the Lord uses our lives and time to teach us and work with us in that thing. And He wants us to be humble, and He wants us to be obedient for as long as it takes. And Elisha told them, you need to dip 7 times. Complete humility, complete obedience for as long as it takes. And what do you suppose would have happened if he would have only done it once and nothing happened? He probably would have gone home and said, I went down there and I dipped once and I came up and nothing changed. And Elisha wasn't who they said he was. Or God isn't who God said he was. Folks, have you ever prayed earnestly to the Lord and you didn't get the answer that you thought you wanted right away, and then you start to be tempted, well, maybe the Lord didn't hear my prayer. Maybe the Lord can't help me in this thing. Maybe I'm a lost cause. Maybe I've got so many problems that the Lord, He's not even interested in me because I'm not seeing movement in this area. And sometimes we think, well, maybe it's the Lord's issue. And I think a lot of times the truth of the matter is that the Lord knows who we are way better than we know ourselves. And He knows what it is that we need. The Lord is willing to do the heavy lifting this morning, folks. But we still have to be willing to come to the table day after day after day. And many times the problems that we face in life, those things that it just seems like cause so many issues, we can be apt to pray that God will remove the consequences without recognizing that the consequences derived from an issue in the heart that the Lord wants to do something about. I want to be willing this morning to dip 7 times if I need to dip 7 times. To be willing and obedient for as long as it takes. And I also want to say this. Just because of the environment and situation you find yourself in doesn't necessarily mean that you have a heart issue either. There are times that the Lord uses strong people of faith that have deep trust and confidence in Him to go through the fire that somebody else might be helped. And we pray, Lord, please deliver me from the fire. And it's not that He doesn't love you. It's not that He doesn't want to. It's that He sees you're somebody that can go through the fire, and He's got another intent for somebody else over here. That's the reason why the Lord asks us, trust me. Trust me with my timing. Trust me with how I deal with you. I'll give you grace. I'll give you help. And He wants us to be intellectually honest with ourselves. He wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to be willing to let Him dig into our lives and get us to the place where we just get it out all on the table as to what the real issue is. And not just look at the fire, but look at what caused the fire. Have you ever asked somebody a simple question? I mean, a real simple question. How did that get turned off? How did the thermostat get turned off? How did that piece of equipment get turned off? And then somebody spends 10 minutes trying to explain something to you, and they finally get all done, and you're smelling smoke by this time. And you finally say, so do I understand right that you just accidentally hit the off button? Well, yeah. That was the problem. Just get to the point where you're willing to just acknowledge what the real issue is. And as human beings, we struggle many times acknowledging who we are. Sometimes there's people, no matter where they go, that they have trouble. Brother Isaac Chandler, I grew up hearing the story where Brother Chandler went to one congregation, he got hurt, went to another congregation, same thing happened. Went to another congregation, the same thing happened. He thought the problem was with everyone else until the Lord said, Isaac, the problem's with you. But it took a while to recognize that there was something more going on than just what met the eye. This morning, let's be more apt to embrace solutions that deal with humility, acknowledging who we are, being patient, being willing to persevere and to seek, rather than spending our time always justifying our current state, trying to find the reasons that justify our actions and where we are. And that we would learn from this story of Naaman that sometimes the Lord may ask us to stay in the fire longer than what we think is necessary. He may ask us to go through some unpleasant places. It doesn't mean He hasn't hurt us. It means He wants to help us. God loves you this morning. God wants you to make it to heaven. God wants to help you through the hardest battles that you will face in life. And He knows how to do it better than we do. And so the promise stands if you be willing and obedient. If you'll be willing. If you'll be obedient. If you'll remain faithful. If you'll seek Me with your whole heart. You'll eat the good of the land. You'll find Me. Don't be discouraged if you have to struggle with something for a while in your life. It doesn't mean that God hasn't heard you. It might mean that He has more to teach you in His love. Don't give up, but continue. Continue following after the word of the Lord. And if we do that, He'll help us get all the way to the end, where one day we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." May God bless each one of you this morning. Amen.